Good morning, and thank you. Thank you for everything. This gratitude is kind of at the heart of our practice. And in some ways, we express it in every aspect of our practice. Before we started this talk, we bowed, full bows or seated bows, and bowing is an act of gratitude. It's a chance for us to let go of the things that get in the way of being grateful for our lives. You know, when we do a full prostration, especially, we first bring our hands into gassho, bringing ourselves into this moment, bringing our attention into focus. And we bow and we put our heads right on the ground. We just let everything drop down, you know, our sort of big heads full of ourselves and our egos, we just put them down and we let some of that self drop away into the earth. And we raise our hands up, which symbolizes raising up the Buddha's feet, right? Dropping our illusion and raising up this awakened nature that we all have. And, you know, the more we bow, the more we start to embody the act as an act of letting go, this act of gratitude, letting go of what's blocking us from being in the world, in this moment. And then, of course, we chant the verse of the Kesa. This Dharma that's rarely encountered, even in millions of ages, but right now we have this chance to see it, hear it, receive and maintain it. Right? We see it with our own eyes and hear it with our ears. We taste it and we touch it and we smell it. And this is the pathway of being human, right? Through this sense world, this world of being people in, you know, sometimes in pain on the cushion, in pain on our lives, you know, sickness, all the challenges we go through in these bodies. And this is our chance to encounter the Dharma. This very moment, right now, this one chance. And this, you know, this reminds me, of course, of the Zen expression Ichigo Ichie, you know, one time, one meeting, which is really appreciate this moment, right? Appreciate this life that we have here, your life as it is right now. And so, you know, we've sat together, all of us, sometimes some of us for many years. And yet, you know, this morning is unique. It's a unique meeting of these people in this space, in this moment. And when Maizumi Roshi encouraged us to appreciate our lives, he's talking about our lives as they are in this moment. Ryotan Roshi calls it respect. We bow in respect. And this respect is really just attention. This is at the heart of our practice, right? Letting go of our ideas of the practice and entering into the practice. Letting go of our ideas of this moment and just entering this moment as it is. And so if we drag around our ideas of what it is, of what Zazen Kai is, what a Dharma talk is, what I am, what the person in front of me is, then we'll never experience those moments. So we have to let go, and that's our practice on the cushion. It's our practice when we bow, let go. Let go of what we're dragging around behind us. Sometimes we talk about it as our karma, right? Our habit energies, our histories, this mountain of karma that we drag around behind us. It's so tiring, you know? And what a beautiful thing to sit on the cushion just to let that drop away and just to be in your body in this moment. Monk asked Joshu, why did the patriarch come from the West? And Joshu said, the cypress tree in the garden. He's not, so the question is, you know, what is the value of this practice? What is this Buddha nature I hear about? You know, why did the patriarch Bodhidharma come from the West? Why are we doing this? Joshu says the cypress tree in the garden, and he's not talking about ideas, not talking about theories, not talking about stories. He's talking about that tree in that moment in the garden. Right, this tree out here, our little cypress tree in the garden, you know, can you see it? He's asking the monk, can you really see it? What's in front of you? Or are you just chasing after the idea of Buddhism, the idea of your life? Just this moment, this encounter. Krishnamurti, the great Indian teacher, talks about all our thinking as belonging to the past. The entire world of our thoughts are always of the past, because we can only think about ideas, think about things that have happened. And yet we cling to those stories and ideas as if they are reality. Right? We miss our lives, our opportunities, this one, you know, that's this opportunity in millions of ages. Right? We miss it because we're trapped in the stories of the past. And so in Zen, we talk about this sometimes as going beyond birth and death, going beyond ideas of gain and loss, and encountering the Buddha way, which is simply, again, appreciating our lives, this Buddha life that you have. And you know, in daily language and in our daily lives, we talk about, or we think about birth as being the beginning of this life and death is the end. Right? And our lives are this small span that happens in between. And that can be useful, but it's based on an idea of the self as being separate. That when you know, this self is born, suddenly there's something new and separate in the world that was not there before. And when this self dies, when this body dies, there's a belief that, you know, what was there is gone. Right? It's, you know, I think, therefore I am is sort of a great encapsulation of that, that way of thinking. You know, in our practice, though, we find out pretty quickly, you know, I think and therefore I'm thinking. It's as easy as that. And so in Zen, we use this concept of birth and death to see through our ideas of birth and death. And we talk about being born in each moment and dying in each moment. And on the cushion, of course, we see a thousand worlds being born, you know, sometimes right in one period of Zazen. And then we see them drop away as well. Right? We might get stuck in one for a while and hold on to that story, that idea, that past. But, you know, as we sit, we get better at letting them drop away. Murinanga Roshi says that true existence is seeing birth and death instant by instant. Yes. Instant by instant. He had a long-term practitioner who was like a church lady. We could think of her that way, you know, a temple lady in this case. And you see it often in communities around temple, there are people who show up all the time and do all the work. I right? Prepare the meals for guests, clean the temple. They are there to set up the cushions and are very serious about their devotion to the temple. And this woman, the student of Moritanga Roshi's, was one of these people who had spent, you know, 40 or 50 years working very hard for this temple that he was part of, supporting the community. And then she was faced with a serious diagnosis, a health condition. And suddenly she found that she couldn't feel any solace from her practice. She just felt immediately lost when she had this sense of, when she had this diagnosis. She just didn't feel the practice supporting her at all these years of devotionally doing things for the community. And so Moritanga Roshi talked to her and taught her this teaching on birth and death. And he said that true existence is birth and death, repeating itself instant by instant. If you look at a flame, it seems to burn continuously and give off constant light. In actuality, the wax is burning down bit by bit, and the wick that blazes in this instant exhausts itself, passing the flame further along. And this teaching reminds me of an early Indian concept of time, which is conveyed through this image of a circle of flame made by spinning a torch. So in each instant, each discrete instant, the torch is in one place and the flame is in one place. But as it spins, it gives this illusion of continuity, this illusion of a lifespan that exists between birth and death, this continuous self that we cling to. But instant by instant, this life is appearing and disappearing. And our practice is being present, being born into this moment, and letting this moment go. Otherwise, we drag it around and add it to our heap of karma behind us. Right? These discrete instances of our lives, just this, you know, just this day of Zazen Kai, right? Just this period of Zazen, just this breath arising right now. Just this. And so Moritanga Roshi taught this woman, Miss Okamoto was her name. He said, when you go into the kitchen to prepare dinner, be born in the kitchen. When you finish there, die. Then be born at the dining table as you eat your dinner. When you finish eating, die there. Be born in the garden and sweep with your broom. When you get into bed at night, die there. When you awaken at daylight, be born anew. If you have cancer, be born with cancer. Always now, just now, come into being. Always now, just now, give yourself to death. Practicing this is Zen practice, he said. This is a vibrant, kind of shimmering way to live our lives. It doesn't mean that bad things don't happen. Doesn't mean that we don't suffer, we don't feel pain and loss and sadness. But we are attending to it as it arises, not getting trapped in it. when we think about Zen and Buddhism, one of the big mistakes we make, and not just us, but everyone, is to think this non-attachment makes us somehow a blank. That's what we're going for, just this non-person, basically, just floating through the world. Or worse, that we become stoic, that we feel this pain, but we put it aside. We just come back to the breath, and that was nothing, and I've let that go. We get this sense that that's the objective. And we misinterpret practice as somehow separate from the rest of our lives. And there's a koan that speaks beautifully to this, that I'm sure you might have heard before. It's from the Entangling Vines koan collection. And there was an old woman, and there are often old women in our koans, and they usually don't have a name, even though they play such a crucial role in our Zen teaching, which is too bad, because these old women are powerful figures in Zen who continually set all these young monks with their heads full of themselves on the right path, and continually set us on our right path. And so this old woman, who we can only feel gratitude for, supported a hermit. And for 20 years, she always had a young girl, 16 or 17 years old, take the hermit as food and wait on him. And so she had built this hermitage on her land and supported this monk for 20 years. And one day, she wanted to test this monk that she's been supporting all this time. And so she said to the girl who was bringing his food, "Give the monk a close hug and ask, what do you feel just now?" And so when she did, the hermit responded, "An old tree on a cold cliff, midwinter, no warmth." And the girl went back and told this to the woman. And the old woman said, "For 20 years, I've supported this vulgar good for nothing." And saying that, she went out, threw the monk out of the hermitage, and burned it down. Right, so what was the problem here? Right, an old tree on a cold cliff, midwinter. Right, this monk was separate from the world. He wasn't being born into that moment. He wasn't letting go. He was just holding on to this ideal, this monk who is non-attached. Instead of recognizing the encounter, this beautiful young woman gives him a hug. He doesn't see her. He's just in his idea of what the right thing is. And the right thing is blocking him from the encounter, from himself, really. So rather than being separate, our job is to be present, to be born into each moment and each encounter. This is this Ichigo Ichie, a joyful life, a vibrant life. And last week, I gave a talk about the death of Layman Pong and the other people in his family. And I just want to return to it for one moment this morning, because I think it really speaks to our practice sort of in an intimate way. And I'll just remind you about the story. When the layman was about to die, he called his daughter to him and said, "As the day turns from moon to night, morn, sorry, as the day turns from morning to night, can it be said when it has reached halfway?" Ling Chao, the daughter, went out into the garden and said, "It's midday, yet there's some obscurity." After going outside to investigate, the layman sees that Ling Chao, his daughter, is sitting in his meditation bench and she has died. And the layman laughed and said, "My girl has fitted the arrowhead to the shaft." And so, as you'll recall, these two are father and daughter, but they're on this very beautiful lifetime journey together of practicing the way. And in many of the stories of Layman Pong, we see Ling Chao, the daughter, as the one who is revealing the truth in the clearest way, right? Well, the layman in this case is out investigating this obscurity in the middle of the day. The daughter is already passed beyond. She's already let go. She's died sitting there. And then a week later, Governor Yu came to ask about the layman's illness. And the layman recites a verse and lays his head on the governor's knee, and the layman passes away. And so the daughter dies sitting up on the meditation bench. The layman dies laying down. And then later on, we hear a little bit about the son, Kang Hyo, and he dies standing up. And the mother at that point walks off not to be heard of again. So she basically dies walking. Right? So we have sitting, standing, walking, and lying down. And these are the four postures of awakening. But in these anecdotes that we've been reading all during Ango about Layman Pong, we hear a lot about the layman and his encounters with Zen teachers and monks. We hear about the daughter, Ling Chao, who really clarifies the teaching in this very direct way. And we hear a little bit about Mrs. Pong as well, who we don't hear her first name either. Not surprisingly, but unfortunately. But the son, we don't know much about. In fact, the only time he shows up is in this ending death scene. And so when word reaches the son, he's out in a field, plowing the field. Right? And so he might have been just working this whole time when the layman and the daughter were off having their Zen adventures. Might have been plowing the field, weaving baskets, which was the family business at that time. Right? This everyday work, which is really the heart of our everyday awakening, is what his son seemed to be involved in. At least that's my imagination of the son, who I've come to like a lot over these last few months. And the layman himself says, you know, "What I do every day is nothing special. Collecting water and fetching firewood. These are prayers that meet the gods." This everyday work, being alive, waking up, being born into hoeing the field, dying to that and being born, you know, into cleaning the kitchen, answering the emails, driving to work, making a meal, you know, visiting a sick friend. These are all moments. These are the prayers that meet the gods, this ordinary life that that it seems like the son was really beautifully living. And so when the son, Kang Hyo, hears about his sister and his father dying, he exclaims, "Oh no," and rests his head on the handle of his hoe and passes away and dies standing up. And in another translation of this, when he hears the news, he just sighs deeply, right? This heartfelt sigh. Born right into that moment of hearing about his, you know, beloved father and sister dying. Just the sadness. And that's how I hear this, oh no, or this sigh, just this deep sadness. Right? There's nothing austere or untouchable about this. Right? He's not the dead tree on the cold ground on a winter cliff. It's heartfelt, this response, fully alive to this moment. No Zen trickery, nothing, nothing to get him out of it, just feeling it. And then, like his father and sister, then letting go as well, dying standing up. Dogen has a fascicle on birth and death, in which he says, it's a mistake to suppose that birth turns into death. Birth is a phrase that is an entire period in itself, with its own past and future. For this reason, in Buddha Dharma, birth is understood as beyond birth. Death is a phrase that is an entire period in itself, with its own past and future. For this reason, death is understood as being beyond death. In birth, there is nothing but birth, and in death, there is nothing but death. Accordingly, when birth comes, face and actualize birth. When death comes, face and actualize death. Do not avoid them or desire them. This birth and death is the life of a Buddha. So I go back to that image of this torch spinning. Each moment is this moment of this torch. And we can use the continuity. We have to show up, for the Dharma talk at 11:10. We have to show up for Zazen in the morning and show up for our jobs at certain times, right? This is part of the continuous illusion that we're part of. But if we cling to ideas of birth and death, cling to ideas of self and other, we try to remain in it, we lose it. Right? We lose this moment together because we're off in our stories. It's when we don't avoid birth and death that we are born into this moment, that we can let go and not drag it around with us forever. Sung San said, when red comes, only red. You might say, red comes born into red. Blue comes only blue. When a hungry person comes, you give them something to eat. So, hearing about the death of his sister and father, heartache and tears. Right? This is giving something to eat. This is responding to the moment. We see a child's face and we smile. Right? We see someone who's down and we give them a hand up. This is our Zen practice that is not a dead tree on the cold ground. This is born into this moment. This moment, how can I serve? Not attached to me or you, me serving you, but just service, just clarity. So I think the son's reply in that moment is strikes me as him being fully human, him realizing the Buddha way in that moment. And his response isn't a cold, dead tree. And it's also not clinging at all, not avoiding or not longing for birth and death, as Dogen says. And this is appreciating our lives. Even in these terrible moments, being here for it. It's bearing witness to the suffering, to the loss, and to the joy. That wind that we heard this morning, just being there for that is respect, paying attention. It's love, it's our practice. And so today, that's our job. Our only job today is to be here, being born into each moment and letting that moment pass away. And this is also our life work. And it definitely does not mean being non-attached to life. In fact, it means going fully into life, being fully present, born into this experience of the human realm where our suffering, as painful as it is the turning point where compassion arises and where our action can save all sentient beings. So we're here to find out what it is, this moment, what's next.